in dependence upon the Lord for much needed help, I venture to direct you to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. We will read as our text, verse 17. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, reading verse 17. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Song of Solomon, we understand, is one of the many songs which Solomon made, as it were, composed. It is the only one that is found in the Word of God. And although it speaks of two lovers, really, we feel that it must have been in the Word of God because it is for the Church of God and for the glory of God. And there are many different scenes in this book. There are many changes, and you will realize that in the path of life there are different scenes and there are many changes. Even in this second chapter, there are many changes. Indeed, I remember one of the Lord's servants saying many years ago that the Word of God has many contrasts. And so even in this chapter and in the whole book, there are many contrasts. And also it has been observed that it is not always easy to differentiate between the one who is speaking or the other, whether the bridegroom, which is set forth as the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether it is the bride, which is the church, is speaking. Sometimes it may be, as it were, both speaking the same language. But what we do find, of course, in the Church of God, as it is set forth here, is the beauty of Christ, as described in some of these chapters, and the love, the mutual love, between Christ and his Church. If we are favoured to know the love of Christ, and it has been known sometimes as the love of espousals, as we have in Jeremiah, I think it is chapter 2, remembering the day of espousals, the love of espousals, when the church went after him in a wilderness that was not sown. So in the spiritual sense, the child of God knows something of the early love, the love of espousals. And of course, there is also in this book and in the Word of God, of course, the love of Christ to his church. So we would venture to say this, friends, that where there is the love to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a definite sign of Christ's love to his church. For John says in his epistle, "For God is love." We may hear today many speaking about God's love, but we need to balance this with a sense of his justice against sin and so on. He is not only a God of love, but a God of mercy. He's also a God of judgment, and of justice and of truth. So we find in this book, the Song of Solomon, many changes and also many figures. For much of what we read here in this book, Song of Solomon, is figurative. And we need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the truth, to look beyond the figurative speech, to the love of Christ to his church, and to the love of the church to Christ. For we read, we love him because he first loved us. And the psalmist says in Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And there we have that vow of the church. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. But good Newton says in one of his hymns, and it, you know, it may be criticized by some, not the Lord's people, but it may be criticized by some, where he says, 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no, am I his or am I not? That may be your concern even today, am I his or am I not? When your love grows cold, when the love of earthly things, when the love of the world takes over, as it were, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? And so this is a great question. And there's no doubt in this book that we read, as it were, the church feeling that. Because although I had not thought to read the second chapter, she says, by night on the bed, on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Now what a contrast that is, isn't it, to the second chapter, where the Church of God is really on the heights. The heights, because the Lord's people know the heights and the depths. In the second chapter, we have the heights, don't we? My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, and so on. There's a great blessing. There's a great enjoyment, the peak, as it were, of the spiritual experience. You may say, well, I don't know whether I'm in that. I don't think I'm in that now. Sometimes wonder whether I've really known it. But my friends, this is a spiritual book. And I noticed on that point, I've never noticed quite before, that in the second chapter, we read this, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. Which indicates that the spirituality of this book, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. They're very certain that it is a spiritual book. That is why it is recorded in the book of God amongst all the many, many songs that Solomon, we understand, composed. This is the only one to be found in God's holy word. And we have the contrast. And we have the contrast in this 17th verse. Contrast from the enjoyment of the love of Christ, the heights, the winter is gone, the rain is over and past. We have a lovely scene here. We've known it, have we not? Even this year, when there's been the heavy rains and the inclement weather, and the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, and now the flowers appear on the earth, and so on. We've known it, have we not? In God's providence, this year, where after all that wintry weather and inclement weather, so the Lord in his providential mercy and goodness has sent the sun to shine for the ripening and the gathering in of the crops of the earth according to his ancient promise that there should be seed time and harvest and so on. And so we have much to thank thee for from that viewpoint. But what about the spiritual part? Do we know something of measurably of the heights and of the depth? Well, some of you may be in the depths this morning. I know not. But the Lord knows. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice. Give ear to my prayer. You know the depths. But what about the heights? We mentioned the early love, the day of espousals. That's not really the heights, is it? It points towards the heights. And here we have in the second chapter the very height of spiritual experience. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. He's calling his church away from all things, away from time things, away from this world. And we need to be called away from time things. Of course, there are, the Lord knows, the needful things, the lawful things that may cause you hardship, but there are these are time things. And the time will come with us each when we should be taken away from time things. And then to know this wonderful word, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. No more storms as you had in that hymn. No more storms, no more tempests, no more darkness, no more pain, no more sin, no more Satan. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. But oh, to know a measure of it while we're here. And my friends, you know, it is something that can be gained. It's something that can be had for those who seek it, for those who search for it. Or how you may long to know the spiritual language of this second chapter. He brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now it is to you a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of wines on the lees well refined. But you see, dear friends, you know there's also a feast of the gospel, isn't there? If you come to hear the word of God, surely it is not out of habit. Surely it is not out of mere tradition. But it is because there are times when you want to taste and to see that the Lord is good. You want to partake of this feast. You may want a few crumbs from off the master's table, like the woman of Canaan. A few crumbs from the master's table. And even a few crumbs, friends, will help you to continue. Will give you a little strength to go on. Will encourage you, perhaps, though you may not have a feast. But what a wonderful thing if it is to have a feast. Now, when the Lord says here, eventually, at the time appointed when we must leave all things, rise up, my love, my permanent, come away, then you will know the marriage feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So really in this last verse is a comparison, isn't it? until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be there like a roe and or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethel. It speaks of a night season. It speaks of the late evening tide, when the night is now coming and the darkness and the wild beasts come out. And you know, friends, it is so, isn't it? Sometimes in the night season, it may be as though these beasts come out and the devil roars until the day break and the shadows flee away. You want the dawn to come. You're looking for the break of day. Even in a natural way, you know, there's something very wonderful, especially if you've had a good night's sleep, and that's a wonderful thing, when you begin to see the light coming through the curtain. The new day has come. Oh, what a wonderful thing it would be if that is so with you spiritually. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The day that the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now the shadows flee away. But also, not only the night, but the shadows of the evening, the dark shadow. Maybe we could speak here of the valley of the shadow of death. And some of you, some of us may have been in measure in that valley of the shadow of death. But the Lord is faithful, though you may not always be in the experience of it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There we read of the shepherd and the sheep, and the dark shadows in that valley. Oh, these shadows are come. You cannot see the light. It is all gloomy, isn't it? We find, I did not read the first chapter, but we find about the shepherds. Here we have another aspect of this book of Song of Solomon, of the shepherds and the sheep. They tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth away, aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kid beside the shepherd's tents. Speaking here of that part of the world where the shepherds were, that they had their flock. And as we read, do we not concern the coming of the birth of Christ? They watched their flocks by night. And so these shepherds had a faithful duty to do. They were responsible for the sheep. Now, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, he had that great weight and burden, that responsibility. For we read concerning him prophetically that the government is upon his shoulder. His government is upon his shoulder. And his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? And God will be faithful and is faithful to his word, to his sheep, to his people. So we seem to have here the evening tide, the shadows of the eventide, and the dusk and the darkness coming upon the earth. We read, of course, in Genesis of the account of the creation, the night and the day that the Lord brought upon the earth. But the Lord is faithful to his word, and now until the day break and the shadows flee away. Oh, my friends, are there those here walking in that shadow of death almost, and in that darkness of the night, and in the valley of the shadow of death? And you're very fearful, as we are. But the Lord has said in his word many promises, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee by the right of my right hand of righteousness." You're waiting now for the day to break, for the dawn to come. You're waiting for that wonderful word that we read in Malachi in the third chapter. That's a wonderful word. "Unto you that fear my name." Now, do you fear his name? Is there that godly filial fear of the dear Lord? The filial fear of the Lord, of that which is the beginning of wisdom. And so we have the, well, if you take, for instance, in Malachi, the third chapter, and then the last, the fourth chapter. The last chapter in the whole, in the Old Testament. All that darkness of the Old Testament had now gone. And a new dawn was to arise. The Lord was coming with healing in his wings. And I think there was 400 years between the Old Testament and the New, and then we have the dawn of the New Testament. And the Lord was coming to, as he was coming, as we read in Matthew chapter 1, his name should be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And also that wonderful word, Emmanuel, God with us. Until the day break and the shadows flee away. One thing we can say, dear friends, and we must be very careful, I don't want to be speculative. I did ask the dear Lord this morning to deliver me from speculation, because we can be very speculative upon such a word as this, and such a book as this. We need to be delivered from fanciful things, to know the truth as it is in Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved. Turn, my beloved. You want the Lord to come. You want to see his face. Turn, my beloved. Notice the language in this book, my beloved. And in verse 16, the last two verses of this chapter, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. The lilies seem to be set forth as the church of God. He comes into his garden and gathers the lilies. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his precious fruits. We read, do we not, in the later chapter? Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. And then we find the Lord has turned. He has heard their prayer. He has given ear to their plea, their supplication. And he says, now I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. Now the Lord has come. It makes all the difference, doesn't it? When the Lord comes, you may be in the shadows and the darkness, even the valley, feelingly, but when the Lord comes, then makes all the difference, doesn't it? The Lord is not silent, he speaks. I think Mr. Frank Gosden said on maybe more than one occasion, he said, you're speaking about the judgments of God. He said, one judgment is silence. I remember your pastors preaching from that. I think, be not silent unto me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Oh, the Lord's silent. It means, it indicates that you know, not only know his silence, but you know when he speaks. So you must have life. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee, say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than thee? He still loves his people in the valley. He still loves his people in the darkness of the night. Until they do flee away. Now, my beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies, but now she's in the darkness. She's in the valley of the shadow of death. She's in the loneliness. The shadows are now forming. Something very, I want to be careful what I say, something very eerie about shadows sometimes, isn't it? He even speaks to me, he speaks of the devil, really. That the devil will flee away. Oh, the devil will flee away. Now turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethel. What a contrast here. The beloved is likened unto a roe, a young deer, a young hart, a male young hart, a young deer. And she's upon the mountains. This roe or young deer speaks of a precious Jesus. He's on the mountains. We read of Mount Zion, don't we? We read of many mountains in the Word of God. We read of Mount Sinai, and the Lord stood above it. But this is not Mount Sinai, my friends. This is Mount Zion. And this is Christ. And the church is saying, turn, my beloved, look upon me, for I am black. We have the same word, do we not, in the first chapter. Look upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me, and so on. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Oh, what a scene. Have we kept our own vineyard? Are we looking at others? But have we kept our own vineyard? Have we not kept our own vineyard? Have we been slothful about our own vineyard? Our own garden? But she cries, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or young hart upon the mountains of Bethel. We have another figure, don't we? The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh. Leaving upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. He's lively, he moves, he comes. He comes quickly. You know, the Lord can come quickly. He can turn your captivity in a moment of time. He can change the scene in a moment of time. The voice of my beloved, she's speaking to her church. Is he speaking to you, my friend? Is he speaking to me? He cometh, leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. He's fleet. He's not slow. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Of course, in that section, the church is not in the valley. She's enjoying the presence of the Lord Jesus. My beloved is like a roe or young hart. Behold, he standeth behind their wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. And then that my beloved speaks, and said unto me, rise up, my love, my brethren, and come away, for lo, the winter is but, and the rain is over and gone, and so on. Now, you see, there, the church is enjoying the love of Christ, the presence of the dear Lord. And you see, if you love him and he loves you, you will mourn his presence, or his absence, rather. I mourn the absence of my friend, as one whose comfort's gone. That's life, isn't it? But here, then, the prayer. The church is praying. Are you praying? We read in the Word of God, pray always. Pray without ceasing. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let your requests be made known unto God. Because he knows your need. But you might say, well, I keep praying, I do pray, but I can't see any glimmer. I'm still in the valley. I'm still seeing these dark shadows. It's still dark. Well, keep praying. Pray on. Pray if thou can or canst not speak, but pray with faith in Jesus' name. You know, my friends, he's a prayer hearing and answering God. Some of you proved it. Some of us have proved it. Oh, my friends, you know, it is something that you could not bear if he did not hear and answer prayer. It were a grief I could not bear. I remember somebody praying that, I think a visitor praying in that schoolroom one Tuesday evening, and he quoted that hymn. I've never forgotten it. It were a grief I could not bear, since thou dost hear and answer prayer. But a prayer hearing, answering God supports me under every load. My friends, he's a prayer hearing God. And he will come in his own time and in his own way. But there's this thirsting and there's this longing. Let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Is that what you want? I think that is their last hymn. Peace by his cross has Jesus made, the church's everlasting hymn. Oh, Helen's in as victory won, and with a shout of glory gone. Oh, you see, my friend, what a need here then. And be thou like a roe or young hart upon the mountains of Bethe, coming down swiftly, fleetly. Why does the young hart come down? Why do they come down anyway? They come down to drink the waters, don't they? As we read in Psalm 42, as the hart panteth after the water. Another figure, you say. Another figure. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. You're searching for God, for the living God. When will you appear before God? And then we have that beautiful promise that the psalmist there is actually ministering to himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou discouraged within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance and my God. And so she's looking, and he can come down upon these mountains of Bethe. Be there like a roe or young hart upon the mountains of Bethe. He's on his throne, dear friends. He's on his throne. John In the Revelation, he saw him sitting upon a throne. And that throne, my friends, is the throne of grace, and it is the throne of mercy. Oh, how attractive grace is, isn't it? And mercy. The roe, or the young hart, will be a very graceful creature. But it speaks more than the natural animal, doesn't it? I'm sure it's not speculative to say it speaks of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he giveth more grace. That's what you need, my friend, if you're in the valley, in the dark shadows. You need grace. You need patience. And that's where he teaches his people. They need grace and they need patience. Patience to wait. Now, what patience is needed, isn't it? Patience to wait is coming. Patience to wait is appearing. Till he return. Will the Lord return? I know, of course, the time is coming when the Lord will return in his second coming upon the earth. But you want the Lord to return. But my friends, you know, there's another word that comes to my mind. The Lord is calling you and me to return. And maybe you're in this dark valley and in this darkness because of your sin. You see, we read, I am black. I am black. In the first chapter. And this has not come upon you without the Lord knowing. It's a time of testing. It's a time of teaching. And as I said a little earlier on, I think, maybe in prayer, I don't know, it's a time when we need sanctifying. Oh, the need of sanctification. Easy to say it, isn't it? Easy to say to someone, well, may it be sanctified. It'd be a very easy term. But my friend, when the Lord sanctifies it, he separates. But the word sanctify means to separate, to make holy. And there's a purpose for this. For God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. Now, the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Oh, the dark providences. That's been a wonderful hymn to me at times. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. And I believe that's to be true. May have sung it many times, but my friends, it's a different thing when you sing it in your heart. And you feel the Lord, when the Lord comes, and there have been times, and I trust, that has been brought to me, that beautiful hymn, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. Well, the Lord has come, hasn't he? Hadn't come to disperse the clouds altogether. Hadn't come to bring you out of this valley. But, you see, the Lord has come. He's speaking now. Oh, my friend, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. He knows your fear. Why are there so many fear nots in the Word of God? Is it not for a reason? Many fear nots. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord. Yes, all the fears, and yet the fear not. But until he speaks. Now turn, my beloved. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now you've got the hearing ear. Now you don't come to the services through habit, and I don't want to speak wrongly, or merely through tradition. Good thing if you come. Indeed, whatever the reason, but my friends, now you come with a hearing ear and with the understanding heart. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I want a word now, because I'm in the valley. I know the dark scene at night time. The they shall come forth. Angry powers of hell attacking now the child of God with all its venom. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessing on your head. I hope that will prove to be true. I hope it will prove to be true. I've known it myself, but my friend, we come again into this, don't we? I say, the wonder of this book is the contrast, the different scenes, the changes that we have. We read of Asa, they that have no changes fear not God. My soul through many changes goes, his love no variation knows. He's the same, he changes not. That is the foundation of the hope of God's dear people. He's faithful and he changes not. Well, I believe this is but a figure then, but I'm sure it speaks of the church and of Christ. It speaks of the beloved. It speaks of Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, what a mercy if it speaks of Jesus Christ. Now, you can say in that other way, thou art all fair, my love. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Yes, although there's the last chapter, though there's the last verse, these two verses are together, you say. They're together. My beloved is mine and I am his. He changes not. Whether you're in the darkness or whether you're in the night time or whatever it is, turn, my beloved. Now he turns. He hears your cry. He attends unto your voice. As we have in the psalm, attend unto my voice, for I am brought very low. Turn, my beloved, and be there like a roe, young hart upon the... Oh, how swift these animals are, how fleeting they are, how quick they are. Now the Lord can come, friends, very quickly. We have that word at the end of God's book. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Behold, I come quickly. He will come quickly in judgment to the wicked, friends. Oh, how solemn that word is. He will come quickly to the judgment. But he will come quickly to his dear people. Well, I must leave it. May the Lord bless what has been spoken and forgive anything amiss. Amen.